to kill me, but I shouldn't totally go back. So basically, he connects, he goes back sort of, and he connects with Jonathan, sends word to Jonathan and says, you know, I think your dad wants to kill me. I think he's out to get me. But can we confirm this thing, basically? And Jonathan says, I don't think so. And David says, I think so. And so Jonathan sets up a situation. He finds out that, yeah, Saul really does want to kill him. And Jonathan, it just amazing faith and character in this guy's life, unlike his dad, sadly. He comes back after he gets word, and it becomes clear that Saul's going to kill, wants to kill David. He says, listen, when the Lord wipes out all your enemies, please don't wipe me out and don't wipe my descendants out. I mean, what a word of faith. I mean, David's got nothing and Jonathan's got everything. And Jonathan says, listen, you're going to win because the Lord is going to wipe out all your enemies. And he's going to, you know, he's going to establish you, basically. I mean, what a word of faith. And isn't it wonderful? You know, the Lord will do that at times. He'll give us key times in our life. He'll give us friends who will come in and speak the word of the Lord to us, won't he? You know, and give us that word of faith when we're just running for our lives. And we're like, I don't know which way is up. But the Lord brings that person who just has that word of faith for us to really come alongside. And so the Lord did that for David with Jonathan. And what a ministry Jonathan had to David, to give him that word of the Lord. And I'm sure that echoed in David's heart and mind all the years it turned out it was that he was going to be in the wilderness. So anyways, so David flees. He leaves. He ends up running down to Nob, where the priests of the Lord are. Ahimelech is down there with a bunch of the other priests. It was a real spiritual center in Israel at the time. And he needs help, so he just asks for some food. And sadly, he lies to Ahimelech. He's there. He sees Doeg the Edomite. And that's basically the head of Saul's bodyguard. And he's like, I don't trust this guy. And so he lies to Ahimelech because Doeg is overhearing their conversation. And he just tells lies to him. He says, you know, I'm on a secret mission from the king. Yeah. Like, yeah, that wasn't the case, was it? And, you know, sometimes we don't have to reveal all the information in a certain situation. That's wise to do that. And the Lord told his people on a number of occasions, listen, don't say, you know, they say, well, I can't tell him everything. And God says, yeah, you don't have to. But just tell him this. Tell him this little part of the truth. You know, you don't have to tell him the whole thing. And sometimes that's the way it is. But God never wants us to do outright lies. And that's what, you know, David did here under the pressure of the situation. And so David, you know, really what it was a breakdown in his trust, right? I mean, it's when we lie to try to protect ourselves, it's a breakdown in our trust of the Lord. And that's what happened here with David. And we see David's weakness. And that's what I love about his life, is that he's like us, you know? That's why I think God took this guy, and we see more about him than anyone else in the Scriptures, and especially in the Old Testament. He and Paul, you know? We see more about these guys than anyone else, and there's a reason for that. And I think it's because we can identify with somebody like David. We go, yeah, that's like me. You know, sometimes I do it right, and sometimes I don't. And sometimes I fail. And David failed here. He lied, and it led to some real problems later on, which we'll see. But David ends up getting bread. He gets some provision. He gets a sword, and he keeps running. He's like, I can't stay here. Doeg saw me. I'll get my provisions. I'll leave. So he leaves, and he's off and running over to Achish. He goes to Gath, of all places. Now, Gath, what do we know about Gath? Anybody remember Gath in the Bible? The big guy. The big guy, yeah. Goliath is from Gath. David, what are you doing going to Gath? You know, now maybe David figures Saul will never think I'm going here, so I'm going to go over here to Gath of all places, you know. Goliath, where the big guy was from. Yeah, he was from Gath. I slew him. And maybe he's thinking, we aren't sure, but maybe he's thinking, you know, what can I do for a living? Well, I could be a mercenary. And yeah, Gath is real close to where the Amalekites live. And the Amalekites were supposed to be entirely wiped out by Saul, but he disobeyed the Lord. So maybe they're the enemies of the Philistines also. So maybe if I, you know, make a life as a mercenary attacking the Amalekites, I can get away with it for a while, you know? Something like that is probably what he's thinking. So anyways, he shows up there in Gath, and the servants of Achish, the ruler there of Gath, he talks with them. He's trying to make some kind of arrangements with Achish, and they're like, you're going to come with us. And so they take him, and they bring him right to the court of Achish, the ruler of Gath. And David hears them, and they're talking to this guy, and they say, you know, this is the guy who they sang songs about in Israel. You know, Saul killed his thousands. Well, David killed his tens of thousands. This is the guy who took care of the big giant Goliath. You know, they're given all this information. They're like, you know, we got him. We got him. We got one of the rulers in Israel. You know, and basically David's going, this doesn't look so good. I think my reasoning here was a bit faulty. I think I just went out of the pan, out of the frying pan into the fire, right? I mean, and so David's getting scared. And we know because of the psalm that's written here, he cries out to the Lord. It's one of those bullet prayers, you know, it had to be. You know, just like, God, help. You know, he in his spirit, he is just crying to the Lord for help. Because he's like, wow, I just totally blew it. I just completely, I'm like, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? You know, I'm nuts. I'm stupid. And then it's like the Lord just reveals to him, yeah, that's right, stupid. So he's like, okay, nuts. Yeah, I am nuts. I am stupid. And so he just starts acting like he's nuts and like he's stupid, you know. And he starts drooling and he's writing, scrawling on a little post, you know, writing stuff and just acting dumb and insane. And Achish, the ruler, sees him and he's like, this guy, for real? He's like a big threat to me? Listen, don't I have enough crazy people in my kingdom already? You want to bring this? He wants to come into my house. No, listen, just get this guy out of here. Just get him out of here. And it's amazing. I mean, this guy is a big-time enemy of the Philistines. The servants are saying you ought to do something with him, like eliminate him. And, you know, this guy's a Philistine ruler. He's brutal. Kills people all the time, doesn't think anything about it. And he just says, just get rid of him. And David just walks out of the situation and he's going, did that just happen? Did I just like... I'm free. I'm out of it. I'm free. And so it inspires this psalm that we're going to take a look at today, Psalm 34. Really amazing, amazing psalm. Love it. Could somebody read that? Maybe we get somebody else to read that. We'll get some other people going through there. Like Harry, maybe Harry could read that, Psalm 34. Just read the whole psalm. Let's go right through it, and then we'll take a look at it.
Upon him and were lightened, their faces were not ashamed.
So I love this psalm. This is powerful, powerful psalm. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And here's why. He says, my soul is going to boast in the Lord. He says, let the humble hear about this and be glad. So he says, if there's anybody out there, he's like, hey, if you are kind of like me and you realize you really need God to come through, you know, and you're desperate for the Lord, you know that you don't have the resources in and of yourself and you need God's help. He says, well, have I got a story for you? he's like, this is really good. He said, it's really, really good. Be glad if that's you. If you're humble and you're broken and you need help and you know it and you need God to come through for you, he says in verse 3, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We're on the same team here, and some really good things are going to happen in your life if that's you. So you should be glad that you have that attitude in your heart. He says in verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord. I did what you're doing right now. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces shall never be ashamed. Now, that's wonderful. You know, do you ever feel like you're in a situation where you're feeling shamed? You're feeling like, you know, I'm not getting the respect I deserve. I've been doing the right thing, and it seems like I'm getting a raw deal here. And I'm looking bad. It's making me look bad. You know, David says, if that's you, if you feel like you're in that situation, look to him. Look to him. He's going to put some radiance on your face. He's going to bring deliverance to your situation, whatever that situation is. He says, just keep looking to him. He goes on in verse 6. He says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I mean, David wasn't kidding when he said, this poor man. I mean, David had lost everything. He lost his wife. He lost his nice villa that he had. You know, that was gone. He lost his standing in the society. He lost his job, his way to make a living. He lost all the nice food that he had, all the deluxe food, all the social comfort, you know, physical and social comforts of good friends. Guys like Jonathan, they're gone. He's totally alone. He's all by himself. He's got absolutely nothing. He really is a poor man. I mean, you ever feel like your back's against the wall? If you don't feel that now, you'll probably feel it at some point in your life. You know, and I doubt that any of us have gotten into a situation quite as bad as David. Maybe. Certainly it's felt like that, I'm sure, at times. We feel like that. And David says, listen, this poor man, the guy who had nothing left at all, was totally defenseless and out of help. I cried to the Lord. I said, I sent one of those desperate bullet prayers to God. And he had been seeking the Lord all along, of course, as well. But he couldn't even reason his way out of this one. He thought he was going to go there, be a mercenary for Achish, and that's not even working out. I mean, he tries to resolve the situation. It's just going from bad to worse. But the guy lets him go. And suddenly he's free. And he's like, the Lord has delivered me. This really is a miracle. And that's another thing we see in verse 7. He says this. He says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. And David's like, he's reflecting on his situation. He's like, yeah. He set me free when the bears and the lions came along. Yeah, the Lord delivered me. Then there was a situation with Goliath. The Lord delivered me there. Then there were, how many times? Four times Saul tried to kill me. This mighty warrior, he missed with his spear. Not once, not twice, not three times. Four times he misses. He doesn't kill me. Let's see. Then he tries to send his bodyguard, his policeman, to go get me. Three times, they fail. He tries to get me. He fails. I run up to Achish, the ruler of the enemies of my people, you know, and he just lets me go. I mean, the angel of the Lord, he's like encamping around me. Like he's right there, and he's just waiting for the next assignment, the next deliverance. And all I got to do is cry out to the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, angel, You heard him. Go for it. Deliver this guy. Set him free. That's the reality of the situation. And that's what it is for us. That's literally the reality of the situation in our lives. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Do you fear the Lord? If you do, there's an angel assigned to help you out. He's right there. And when you call out to the Lord, he gets his assignment from the Lord to help you out and deliver you. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, talk about God's personal care in your life. That's pretty awesome. I mean, and it's just for those who fear the Lord. I love that. It's not like you got to be a big shot or anything. You know what I'm saying? It's like you fear the Lord. Do you have that in your life? Yes, I fear the Lord. Well, guess what? The angel of the Lord is encamping around you. He's right there. Elisha understood this principle, didn't he? Later on, he's got a whole army surrounding him. We read that story in Kings. And his servant Gehazi is like, we're in deep trouble. We got a whole army turned out to get us, you know. And Elisha says, Lord, just open the guy's eyes. And open Gehazi's eyes. And he opens Gehazi's eyes, and there's this gigantic army of the Lord surrounding the army that's surrounding them. It's like the Lord just dispatched all the amount of angels that were necessary. God dispatched them into the situation. Whatever was needed, they were there. Elisha's completely delivered. The entire army is struck with blindness, and it's cool. He goes on his way. It's like nothing, no sweat. That's the situation. That's the reality of the situation in our lives. It really is. I mean, that's amazing, an amazing promise. But David, he gets this revelation. He's like, I get it. The angel of the Lord is encamping around me. It has to be that way. How else could I just keep getting free? And he's just warming up. I mean, he's going to be on the run for several more years and get several other amazing deliverances along the way. But there's the angel of the Lord encamping around. He says that God delivers him. He delivers the humble ones, the ones who know they need God's help. Those are the ones who get deliverance. He said, be glad if that's you, because deliverance is on the way. Just cry out to the Lord. That's what I did. I just cried out to him. He sent deliverance. So he delivers. That's the first main point of this psalm. God delivers the humble ones who cry out to him for deliverance. They don't take matters into their own hands. Now he goes on in verse 9. Verse 8. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. This is the key. He's saying, you got to actually take refuge in the Lord here. Don't take refuge in your own reasoning, in your own abilities, to get out of the situation or to figure out your own deliverance. Don't do that. Blessed is the man. You'll be blessed if you actually take refuge in the Lord, if he's the one that you're counting on for deliverance here. And he goes on, he says, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Now, again, he's talking about this fearing the Lord thing. He says, do that, you his saints. Again, that's everybody. Anyone who has been sanctified by the Lord, set apart and made his, which that's you, if you believe in Jesus and you put your hope in him for your salvation and you want him to lead your life, that's you. That's really encouraging, isn't it? But he says, you'll have no lack. You know, now in verse 10, he goes on, he says, the young lions suffer want and hunger. Now, how did David know that? Because David was a young lion. You know, he's one of the young lions. You know, he's a young guy. He's in his 20s. And he's like, hey, it doesn't matter how much energy you got. Doesn't matter how strong you are physically, how much you think you got. Guess what? You're going to run out of steam too. Even the young bucks can't handle it on their own. They run out of steam. But the young bucks who seek the Lord, they lack no good thing. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So he says, seek the Lord. You know, maybe you're feeling like, I'm lacking something. I'm missing something. It's not working for me. Well, there's this condition here, and it's called seeking the Lord. Like, God actually wants us to talk to him about the situation. And I think it's easy. We can become passive. We're like, okay, I'm going to do the right thing, and that's good. But we get passive in it. We're like, oh, Lord, thank you that I'm getting beat up and the tar's getting, you know, the snot's getting knocked out of me, you know. No. We don't have to thank him for that. We can ask him for deliverance from that. You know, we need to do the right thing, but we don't have to thank him for, you know, the punches that are being thrown at us. We can thank him for the deliverance he's going to give to us to get us out of the situation, to deliver us from the situation. Now he goes on, he says, come, verse 11, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I'm glad he does this because, you know, what is the fear of the Lord? You know what I mean? Okay, I fear the Lord. I think I fear the Lord. Is that what I, you know, what is this fear of the Lord anyways? Well, David's going to show us what this is. He says, let me explain to you what I'm talking about when I say fear of the Lord. He says in verse 12, what man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? He says, you want to see good? You want to see God come through for you? He says, okay, this is how you do it. Verse 13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Think of David's situation here, okay? He's been captured. He's in the court with Achish, the ruler of the Philistines, ruler of Gath in any case. And David knows the inside and out of the situation in Israel. He knows Saul's court. He knows who's in charge. He knows doing what. He knows how Saul's strategy. He knows all the state secrets. And he's in a lot of trouble. Now he's suddenly in front of this guy, the ruler of Gath. And the servants of Gath, of this guy, are basically encouraging him to put an end to David. Now, what could David do here? David's got some options here. One of them could be what? Hey, listen, I know the inside story of the... I know all the state secrets in Israel. I got them all. I can help you out. I can help you guys out. He can actually aid the enemies of Israel here. He could turn against the enemies of Israel. Now, does he have some reason to do that? He's only done good for Israel. And he's been given a royally raw deal, hasn't he? I mean, he's got reason to be embittered and to really turn against Israel. He could do evil here to Israel in order to save his own neck. And a lot of people would look at it and say, I don't blame him. But he's not going to do that. He says, keep your tongue from evil. David doesn't reveal the state secrets of Israel. He doesn't betray his nation. He won't do it. He's not going to betray his people. Why? Because the Lord has made him prince over the people of Israel. He's meant to shepherd them and to help them and to protect them. And he is not going to turn against them. He won't do it. Even if it means his own life. He says, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to attack. I'm not going to do evil. I'm not going to open my mouth and reveal state secrets and hurt God's people. Not going to do it. The next temptation is simply to tell a really good lie. Now, you just done that down in Nob. You can kind of tell he's feeling a little guilty. The implication is he's feeling that wasn't the right way, right? I mean, the Lord could have come through for him if he had somehow did something else. He could have trusted in the Lord. The Lord could have done something. It wasn't necessary for him to tell a lie. And we find out later on that lie was disastrous. Because of that lie, Doeg takes the information back to Saul. Doeg tells more lies about Ahimelech and the priests. And Saul sends for those guys, for Ahimelech the priest. And they end up getting all killed. They all get wiped out because they helped David. They didn't even know. They were completely innocent of anything, any wrongdoing. In fact, Jesus commended them in the New Testament. He said Ahimelech did the right thing to help out David. So, and they got killed for it. And David writes a whole psalm about that, Psalm 52, by the way. Writes a psalm about evil people like Doeg and what God's going to do in that situation. And for the people who get hurt by evil people like Doeg, even to the point of losing their life. Read Psalm 52 sometimes. Really encouraging. But anyways, so David's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to get out of this tight situation by telling a lie. I did that once. I'm not going to do it again. And he says that right here. He says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. And he's basically saying, don't tell a lie to get out of your situation. Don't do it. Don't lie about it. Don't lie against others. Don't slander. Don't speak evil. Keep your tongue from speaking evil. Just don't do it. When you're in a tight situation, when your back's against the wall, you feel like you got the raw deal, don't fight back. Don't do evil. This is what it means to fear the Lord. He's saying, don't do that. It says, in fact, he says, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So David seeks peace. He decides he is not going to stir up the Philistines against Israel. He's not going to do it. He's going to seek a peaceful way out of this. He ends up, you know, acting like a crazy guy, basically. And God just lets him, just gets him right out of there, guy. He gets to leave. He's like, turn away from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. And David has determined as he leaves that situation, he is not going to do anything to harm Israel. He just won't do it. He's not going to do it. Now he goes on here. You know, and think about that for a moment. Think about our own life. You know, when our back's against the wall, and even within the body of Christ, you know, if you've been saved for more than a few years, you realize that sometimes people get hurt even within the body of Christ. And then they turn around. What, you know, the temptation is what? Sometimes to backbite, to fight back, to say bad things, to slander, whatever. David's like, don't do that. You know, sometimes we get the raw deal. People say things about us. Stuff happens, and people misunderstand. And we feel misrepresented. We feel shamed, maybe. And David's like, no, you fear the Lord. Radiant. Your face is going to be radiant. The Lord's going to deliver you. He's going to vindicate you. The situation is going to work out. You do the right thing. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Keep your tongue from evil. Your lips from speaking deceit, from lying about other people, slandering them. Don't do that. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. He goes on here. He says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cries. God is really watching. He really is watching your situation. Remember the angel of the Lord camping out around us, right? God is watching the situation. He says, how is the guy going to respond? Is he going to take matters into his own hand? Guess what? If we take matters into our own hand, doesn't mean that the Lord's going to stop loving us. Doesn't mean that he says, that's it, I've had it with you. You're not saved anymore. I'm sending you to hell. I mean, we're not. No, but he's just going to go, oh, all right. You're not calling upon me to help resolve the situation. You figure you've got a better way. Okay, go for it. Have fun, you know. I mean, really, that's what the Lord will do. He'll just step back, and then we pay back evil for evil. We say bad things against people. We gossip. We do whatever. And all kinds of bad fruit comes out of it. And we go, what's going on, God? How come you aren't helping me? Don't you realize how, you know? And we're trying to defend ourselves, and we're just all this, and it gets ugly. Just gets really ugly really fast. And the Lord is saying, don't do that. David is saying, don't do that, right? See, don't go there. Don't take matters into your own hands. That's really what it means to fear the Lord. It's like, I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to turn away from evil, I'm going to do good, and I'm going to call upon the Lord, and I'm going to ask him for deliverance in the situation. I'm going to pray about the people that are causing the problems. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray about the situation. I'm going to pour out my heart to him rather than, you know, and do the gossip and slander thing and complaining and all that stuff. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to turn to the Lord in this situation. I'm going to ask for his help because he's actually watching. And he's really attentive. He's very, very attentive. He's listening. He's saying, oh, this guy, he fears me. He's trying to do the right thing, and he's not taking matters into his own hand. Okay, he's given me permission, and he's asking me to intervene. Absolutely, I will. I'll get involved in the situation. Now, God will bring deliverance in his own way and in his own time. Sometimes it's not in our time frame, right? A lot of times it's not in our own time frame. But he will bring deliverance, and he will intervene in the situation. We can trust him for it, and that's what David is saying here. He's going to do that. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. What did Jesus say? He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's going to be ours. You know, when Jesus comes back, he's going to change the whole thing and make it, and he's going to hand it over to us forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's the inheritance. We die, we go, you know, to heaven or whatever. Well, we're not going to get into, you know, whether you believe in soul sleep or whatever. I don't know. We're not even going there. But the bottom line is we inherit the earth, right? We do end up inheriting the earth. And David says, listen, the Lord, face of the Lord is against those who do evil. He's going to cut off the memory of them from the earth. These guys aren't going to last. He's like, you've got this amazing inheritance. don't blow it. Don't take matters into your own hands. It's all going to work out in the end. He goes on, he says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Now, how many troubles? Out of all their troubles, every one of them. I love that. Out of all their troubles. There isn't a trouble that you're in that God isn't willing to deliver you out of, isn't willing to rescue you out of. That's amazing. Now, again, it's going to happen in His time, in His way, you know, not always in the timing we want. God is so into delivering us from trouble, He's even taking care of death. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, you don't even have to worry about dying anymore. He's even got that one covered. I mean, God is totally committed to delivering you from every trouble you face, even death itself. That's like pretty awesome. He's like, you win. David's like, you're going to win, really. So just fear the Lord. You know, he says in another psalm, he says, don't fret because it leads only to evil, right? When we fret, when we fear something besides the Lord, what happens? We end up taking matters into our own hands, like David did in Nob. David's like, I learned this one. Been there, done that. Don't do that. Don't take matters into your own hands like I did and lie, right? Just don't do that. He's like, don't do that kind of thing. Because the Lord hears. The Lord's looking, He's listening, and He hears when we call to Him. And He'll intervene in our behalf, and He'll help us out. He goes on, He says He delivers them out of all their troubles. That is just an amazing promise. And, you know, and maybe you're saying, you know, well, Bob, okay, I hear that, but you don't understand. I am crushed. I have been what I've gone through has been devastating. Now, I understand that. I mean, I've been through things that were really devastating where I just felt devastated. I felt crushed in my spirit. And sometimes it was my fault. Sometimes it wasn't. And on a number of occasions, it wasn't my fault. But I felt I got a raw deal. And I felt crushed. You know, if that's you, you know, I understand that. David understands that. You know, David was crushed in his spirit. I mean, think about it. The guy had done nothing but help Israel, and he's left with Zippo, and he's running for his life. I mean, talk about crushed. I mean, the king Saul loved him at one point, and he hates him for no reason and wants to kill him. I mean, it's devastating what he's going through. It's absolutely mind-boggling. But here's the good news. Verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Isn't that wonderful? And David says, this poor man cried. And you know what? Sometimes we just need to literally do that, right? We just cry. You know, I've been in situations where that's all I could do is just cry and plead for mercy. And just for mercy on my family, on situations, just literally pleading for God to help. And He has. He really does hear. He does. He really does hear. And I've seen Him, without getting into details, I've seen Him save my kids' lives twice, three times, when they almost died. And when the situation was so bad. And it's so good now in both of their lives. And so we're so blessed. The Lord really is near to the brokenhearted. He really saves the crushed in spirit. And sometimes it seems like everything is hitting you at once. It's just an avalanche. And that's what it was for David. David's like, I was a poor man. It was like I was in an avalanche. The whole thing was cascading on me. I had nothing, zero, nothing left at all but the Lord. That was it. All I had was Him. And you know what? He was enough. He was enough. He delivered me. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. I think I said it last week, don't ever let anybody tell you that you're not going to have any trouble if you serve the Lord. It's simply not in the Bible. In fact, David says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. You're going to have lots of troubles. Jesus said that, right? But here's the key, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Isn't that the truth? Verse 20, he keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. I mean, now, you know, really, yeah, could we get hurt physically? People get martyred, whatnot, for the faith, right? he's really talking, this is really a literary, it's a poetic way of saying things. He's basically saying, listen, when it's all said and done, there's no permanent damage for people who love the Lord. He keeps all their bones, none of them are broken. When it's all said and done, it's all going to be good. Now he says, verse 21, he says, affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. In other words, it's not going to work out for them. People who hate the righteous, people who hate the Lord, who go against his ways and who go against you and attack you, they're in trouble. It's not going to work out for them. When affliction hits them like it hits everybody, they're going to be condemned. You know, they're going to die one day. You know, and it's not going to work out for them. They're going to be condemned. It's not going to be a good situation. He said, you know, basically saying, listen, it really is a difference between those who fear the Lord and those who don't. There's going to be a significantly different outcome between these two people. What did Jesus say in Matthew 7? He gets to the end of talking about the way the kingdom of God operates. He's getting to the end of that. And remember, I think we talked about it before, but in Matthew 5, 6, and even into 7, we really see Jesus is really talking about the inner life. He says the kingdom of God, it all operates on the inside. What's going on the inside, that's where the kingdom of God happens. And then he gets to the end of his teaching on that, and he warns him. He says, you know, be careful, you know, how you build your house. You know, the guy who builds his house, he says, you know, if you listen to my teachings and you do them, you actually put them into practice, you actually fear the Lord and do the things I'm talking about, he says, that guy, you know, when you know, that's like the guy who built his house on stone. The guy who heard what I had to say and ignored me and went the other direction, took matters into his own hands, that's like the guy who built his house on the sand. He said, and then the waves hit, the storms, and they hit both of the houses, right? Because everybody gets affliction in their life. It's just coming. It's happened. It's going to happen. You can count on it. The affliction comes, and the house of the righteous, it stands. But the house of the wicked collapses. The guy who tried to take matters into his own hands, boom, down it went. The guy who said, Lord, help. I want to do things your way, and I need your intervention. That's the guy, his house stands. His house stands the trouble. Verse 22, the Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Not one of them. He redeems the life of his servants. That is precious. That is so precious. I mean, God is saying, listen, I'm going to buy back the whole thing, like your entire life, even your goof-ups, even your sins, even the things you did wrong, even the mistakes you made. I'm just going to buy the whole thing back, and I'm going to redeem the whole situation, and I'm going to create something good out of it. And at the end of the day, you're going to stand justified. You're not condemned. And, you know, that's what happened in David's life, isn't it? I mean, David, at the end of his life, it says in the scriptures that he fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation. And it says the Lord was pleased with him, and he did everything, you know, how does it say? He did everything right, or how does something to that effect. I'm sorry, I should find that verse. Effectively, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, basically, he did everything right. And I read that, and I said, really, God? David did everything right? You see, the Lord just edited the whole thing out, didn't he? It's this wonderful editing process where he takes our sins and our failures, and he just kind of edits them all out, kind of cleans everything up, and he presents something wonderful. And that's what it's going to be like for us. Isn't that wonderful? If you're his servant, if that's you, if you're a servant of the Lord, that's your future. God's going to even take your mess ups. You know, he's going to even take, you know, he can redeem that whole thing and make this beautiful mosaic out of your life so that you actually end up fulfilling his purpose in your generation. If you stay in the fight, stay with the Lord. You seek the Lord, you keep pressing into him. God is so committed to us, so committed to us. I mean, that's amazing. Isn't he good? That's what David said. He said in the psalm, he said, taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, don't take matters into your own hands when you're in trouble. Fear the Lord. The angel of the Lord, he's right there. He's encamped about you. He's ready to come through at a moment's notice, you know, he'll bring deliverance. Now, again, he'll be released to bring deliverance. And again, it's on God's time, right? It's in God's timing. David's seeking the Lord for deliverance. He gets delivered out of this situation. But where does he end up? He ends up in the cave of Adullam. Okay. He goes to a cave, you know. That doesn't sound to me totally like deliverance. Like, okay, well, you know, okay, I guess it. But it is a deliverance, right? I mean, it definitely was deliverance. But a lot of times that deliverance is step by step, you know. Sometimes we lose heart in the journey, right? Because we don't see the complete full deliverance. We only see partial deliverance. And that's frequently the case in our life. We see little breakthroughs, little deliverance, little steps. You know what? That's the Lord. That's the Lord. And David recognized it. He said, the Lord moved in this situation. You know, he's down in the cave of Adullam, and he's got this band of misfits coming around him, and he's writing out this story, right? He's writing down this psalm about what happened and how the Lord dealt with this situation. He's like, taste and see the Lord is good, guys. And he just starts shepherding this people, and this ministry of shepherding that's in him, it just starts coming out. He's not even king, but that anointing is on him, and he's beginning to do that. And the Lord and he recognizes that the Lord has delivered him, will deliver him, that it's taken care of, the situation is good. And in another psalm, he even talks about that deliverance from death. He says, I know he's not going to abandon my soul to Sheol. He says, therefore, you know, even my flesh dwells securely because I know there's a resurrection coming. So, I mean, that's pretty, like I said, he's got the whole thing covered from A to Z. He is so good. The Lord is so good. Well, let's give thanks to the Lord. Let's just close in a word of prayer and then fellowship. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are committed to us, that your angel is encamped about us. They're ready to deliver us. Lord, help us when we are in a tight situation, when we got our backs against the wall. Lord, we don't want to take matters into our own hands. We want to present the situation to you and do the right thing. We want to take action, but when we take action, let it be the right thing, Lord. Let us respond the way you want us to respond, and let us actually call upon you and not be passive when our back's against the wall. Let us really look to you and ask for your deliverance. And Father, we thank you that you've promised to deliver us out of all of our troubles, not some of them, but all of them. Lord, we look to you. We know ultimately all of those who love you and fear you will be delivered fully and completely at the resurrection, completely. Full deliverance and inheritance that is kept secure for us in heaven. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.